When I was a teenager, probably 16 or 17, I went with some friends to a rather large Christian youth gathering held in a gymnasium. I'm pretty sure it was non-denominational, and I'd say there were probably about 100 high schoolers there. The focus was the cross. I remember watching a movie clip of Jesus being flogged, mocked, and crucified. And then we were instructed to divide up into groups of 10 and gather around one of several wooden crosses laid out on the gym floor. And we were each given a nail and told to take turns hammering our nails into the cross. And with each blow of the hammer, we were supposed to think about our personal responsibility for the crucifixion of Jesus. This exercise was meant to make us feel guilty, anguished, repentant. It was also meant to make us thankful for God's grace and give us hope and everlasting life because Jesus paid the price for our sins. The exercise worked. There wasn't a dry eye in the house that night. I'm not sure how to feel about that experience now. I know I wouldn't ask the youth in our church to do it. Something just doesn't seem right about it, you know? But it's hard to pinpoint because in some ways I do believe that I'm responsible for Christ's death. As sinners, we are all theologically responsible. But for the sin of humankind, God the Son would not have needed to come among us, die, and rise again. I also believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Scripture tells us he paid the price, just like I was taught as a youth. Specifically, Paul says that Jesus paid our debt. Jesus ransomed us through his death in order to set us free from bondage. But who did he pay? Who are we in debt to? The devil? God? Theologians have differed on that point for centuries. And the entire ransom metaphor is but one of many used to describe what happened on the cross. Frankly, I'm not a fan of the ransom metaphor, but I certainly can't negate it. And then let's consider Peter in the Acts of the Apostles, who affirms that we indeed killed Jesus. He addresses the crowd on Pentecost and says, "This man, this Jesus of Nazareth, you crucified and killed." There is definite blame. And this blame leads 3,000 people to repent and be baptized. We are meant to see ourselves in that crowd. We are meant to remember that we are at fault just as much as those physically involved in Jesus' execution in the first century. We are no different from the crowds who shouted for his death, the politicians who crucified him to keep the peace, the apostles who fearfully hid, and the friends who betrayed. In fact, if we don't identify with that cast of characters, then we run a risk on Good Friday. We run the risk of our grief becoming mixed with thoughts of anger and even vengeance. Thoughts that led millions to join Hitler in perpetrating acts of genocide against the killers of Jesus. We're all killers, all culpable. And yet I still can't get on board with asking teenagers to drive nails into a cross. I can't get on board with asking anyone to do that. I was ruminating on what I found so objectionable about it, reflecting on why that experience haunts me a little. And I told my husband about it. His response was this: 99% of dog training is positive reinforcement. What? He was quoting a colleague who runs a residential high school. Like teenagers, we all need correction, but that's only part of the story. Focusing on what we do wrong only gets us so far, and focusing on forgiveness only gets us so far. Yes, we are here on this Good Friday to lament the crucifixion and our role in it. We are here to acknowledge the sin that persists in our lives and in the world, the sin that drove Jesus to the cross. And of course, we are here to embrace Jesus's sacrificial love and forgiveness. But there's more. We're also here to embrace what the cross enables us to do and to be. And we don't have to wait for Easter for that good news on this Good Friday. If I were to design an exercise for young people to gain insight into the crucifixion, it would not be hammering nails. It would be tearing a piece of cloth. One by one, listening to the rip of the fabric. And I would ask them to think of the temple curtain. When Jesus died, the temple curtain, which stood between the people and the most holy part of the temple, where they were not allowed to go, that curtain was torn in two. Suddenly, the separation between the people and God is gone. The earthly and the heavenly are united. What had been separated by sin comes back together. And that is the reconciling power of the cross. It allows us to be one with God, one with other people, and one with ourselves. Jesus reminded the people of Israel that not even the mighty powers of Rome could destroy their dream of union with God. Jesus taught them that the dream of God's reign, of peace through justice, would be realized when they learned to love one another. Crucifixion is what happens when we separate ourselves from the one in whom we live and move and have our being. It's what happens when we're lost in our own brokenness and lost from the truth that we are one. Crucifixion is what happens when some people are given more value than others, when we turn our backs on the inherent worth and dignity of every human being, when we bypass equality, equity, and compassion, and instead feed off the energy of anger, fear, and hostility. When the ties that bind us to one another are cut and we're alone, that is crucifixion. Yet, and here is the paradox of Good Friday, sometimes it's in the brokenness, the alienation, and loss that we come closest to the sacred. When we see most clearly what really matters to us, sometimes in our suffering, the curtain is torn. The barriers we put up are torn. And we see what our spirit and the spirit of humanity is yearning for. Connection, union with other people, with God, and with who we are at our core, which is good. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Easter is not here. We can dwell in the pain today. We're meant to dwell in the pain today. But we do so with the knowledge that God is near to the brokenhearted, and that all that is broken becomes whole in Him. Amen.